Jenny, thank you for reading God's word. We're going to be looking together at that passage in 1 Kings 19, so please do keep it open as we look at it together this evening. Let's just pray again. Let's ask God by his Spirit to be our teacher tonight and to encourage us in our faith. Father God, thank you for bringing us together, whether here in church or online. We thank you for your Spirit, and we pray that your Spirit will be our teacher, and that, Father, whatever we need to hear, whatever we need to learn, whatever way you want to challenge or encourage us, Lord, that, Lord, we will be open to that. And so, Father, speak, and may we be servants who are listening, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this is part of a series that we've been doing where we've been looking at failure. And in past, we've looked at Moses, and there are plenty of people across the Bible who have been failures. We also touched on Abraham. Well, tonight, we come to the great prophet Elijah. Now, I do not imagine that I am alone, however, in also knowing that I've had times of failure where I've experienced the consequences of having made some very poor choices and maybe even done some very poor actions. And in those times, it's easy to consider the idea that somehow I went off track, that somehow we took a wrong turning, that in some way we've lost touch with God. Yes. We can often think that maybe God has just put us into a siding and there we're going to remain, and there doesn't seem to be a way back. Now, I think all of us may have had those moments, maybe those feelings. Those have been some times that we can echo when we recognize that maybe in life we have been a failure. Well, the Bible has, as I say, many failures. But with God, there is always the opportunity for a fresh start. With God, there's always the opportunity that if we've stumbled, he's ready to put us back on our feet. It's easy to forget during these times to look again, to be strengthened by God, by his word, where God tells stories of heroes of faith who have failed, sometimes in a massive way, sometimes just for a short period of time. Yes, some cases their failures have been extreme. Maybe that they've been involved in murder. Other times they have been caught up in their own selfish desires. And other times they've been commissioned to God to do a particular ministry. And like Jonah, what have they done? They've headed off in the opposite direction. So failure is virtually on every book of the Bible. But with God, there is always a way back. Because God is in the rescue business. He's about rescuing people. He is the God, I say, of fresh starts. I saw a title of a book. I haven't read the book, but I've seen the title. The title is this: Failure Can Be the Back Door to Success. By the way, it was an American author who wrote it, but I haven't read the book. But I think it's true. Failure can be the back door to success. Well, here we are with Elijah. He's had a massive showdown on Mount Carmel. I've stood on that mountain, and I can picture the scene, even now, in my mind's eye. There was a great victory. There, the prophets of Baal were vanquished. It looked as if, well, nothing could go wrong from now on. And what do we find, however, in the story? That King Ahab has seen the prophets of Baal destroyed, and he makes a dash to see his wife, Queen Jezebel. And what did we learn in our reading? She vows that if not by the same time tomorrow, why, Elijah is going to die too. And Elijah, he just couldn't take any more, could he? The pressures of being the prophet of God had gotten to him. And so what do we find? We find in this story that he takes off and he runs. And he runs off into a wilderness. And when God met him there, we find that Elijah is a broken man, feeling that the only way out for this prophet, the only thing that he can do, having feeling isolated and finished, in complete collapse, is that he just wants to die. Suddenly, Elisha's life is in a crisis. Yes, a mountaintop is always followed by a valley. A mountaintop is always followed by a valley. Elijah, if he really had wanted to die, he only needed to go and see Jezebel, and she would have obliged him straight away. It seems, obviously, that maybe deep down, maybe Elijah didn't want to die. But somehow he was racked by self-doubt and by agony. His self-doubt was such that he prayed for death to come. Now, what do we learn from such a situation? How does God respond to this prophet? What lessons can we take as we follow his story? Well, in this evening of help, hope, and healing, I want to highlight four things to you. And the first I want you to see is fear in verse 1 and 2 and again in verse 3. We need to realize tonight that the opposition will not give up. If you are a Christian, you have those who oppose you. The devil will oppose you to the day you die. He is the great accuser of God's people. So in chapter 19 tells us that Ahab arrives back at the court full of the events that have taken place on the mountain. And you can imagine that the king is still in a state of shock because of what has taken place. All these priests of Baal have died. He's telling his wife, who clearly seems to run the country, by the way, if you read the story. He's telling her the news, and you can almost imagine the anger that is rising up within this woman. And we find that King Ahab still does not fully see, however, that the hand of God is at work. Rather, merely he sees the hand of man. But notice also, he not only fails to see the hand of God, he doesn't recognize who the true prophet was. He's caught up by still keeping his eyes on the false prophets who've been killed. How is our time? In our time, we need to learn that we need to keep our eye on God and on God's word. We need to make sure that we give him the glory and him the honor. And we mustn't get sidetracked into giving false praise to those things and those people who are not honoring God. You see, even with this biased report, you'd think that the queen, Queen Jezebel, might have just stopped for a moment. Even now, she might decide to repent. Even now, she might turn from her evil ways and seek the living God. But sadly, we read that she is filled with bitterness and resentment, and resolved that Elijah will die. And we find here that even with the miracle that's taken place on Mount Carmel in the previous chapter, yes, even as we see miracles taking place today, it cannot change our hard and sometimes bitter hearts. May God preserve us from such an attitude. May we have eyes to see where God is working and give him the praise and give him the glory. So tonight, know this. As Christians, we will always face opposition. And the devil will particularly get at us when we are fatigued, when we're at the point of exhaustion. Because that leads us into the next part, this fatigue. If fear is the first thing, fatigue is the second. Life is falling apart for the prophet. Look at verses 2 now to 7. So Jezebel sent messengers to Elijah, threatening that within a day she would take his life. And as revenge for killing her priests on Mount Carmel. And as this news reaches Elijah, who is now very deeply afraid, he runs for his life. And how all too often that's us. Sometimes a few words can make us crumble, can't they? I'm sorry to say that we would probably have done the same if we heard that we'd been threatened in that way. We'd have put on our running shoes and off we would have sped. Elijah only hears these few threats from the queen and he's off into the wilderness. He doesn't stop to consult with the Lord. He doesn't stop to find other believers who will support or encourage him. He thinks he's on his own. Only he is left. And drawing the heat of the event, the situation, how rarely do we consult, you see, with our Heavenly Father? Often it's the last thing that we will do is to turn and to pray. To seek other Christians to pray and to support us. We will just see a situation and think, what more can I do? And what we discover here is the overthrow of Christian hope. The overthrow of faith. In essence, we stop hoping in God. We stop waiting on God. Here is the spirit of being fatigued. At home, yes, he's run away because he thought that the battle was over. He thought that the powers of evil had been completely defeated. Yes. Only a few words from Queen Jezebel to kill him, and he is utterly crushed. He needed to know that the battle is not over. All this comes after 3 years of drought, of famine, the battle on Mount Carmel, the rain, but still Ahab and Jezebel are hostile. And hateful. I suppose he wondered if all his labors were in vain. And he breaks. And I say the same can be true for us and our battles, our battle with sin and self, our desire to grow in the spiritual life. We thought we were making great progress. Things were going really well. But somehow that besetting sin has tripped us up again. We thought we had the victory. And we've stumbled once more. Oh, how like Elijah we are. You see, we forget that when you get to the top of the mountain, there is a valley just below. A spirit of fatigue has gripped him. Yes, fear. Yes, fatigue. And we see failure, don't we? Look again at verses 4 and 5. Down, but not out. And so it was with the words of Jezebel ringing in his ears that Elijah starts running, and he doesn't stop until he's in the desert. And he found a shrub and he collapses under the shrub. And now he prayed. And what a prayer he prayed. He requested that he might die. You see, I want you to see tonight that Elijah is acting irrationally. First, he had fled for his life, and now he wants to die. Secondly, had he really wanted to die, all he had to do, as I say earlier, he only had to stay around, and Jezebel would have done it. And his prayer to God was that basically he'd had enough. Enough of the work. Enough of trying to stand up for God amongst the people who didn't seem to be interested. Yes, he was clearly waving the white flag. You see, what was wrong with Elijah was at heart a case of unbelief. He'd reckoned God's work as impossible. He couldn't see how Ahab and Jezebel would ever be defeated. He just thought he'd had enough. However, take comfort from the story. If a mighty man of God can be brought this low, then it's no shame to us tonight if we too feel that we're walking on a very thin line between victory and defeat, between triumph and disaster, between the mountaintop and the valley. Let us not be surprised by our feelings. Just remember Elijah. Let us take hold of the lessons that we can learn from his experience and ask God to apply them to our weak and feeble hearts. And finally, let us learn how God often lifted him up when he was downcast. Let's see tonight that this was not a knockout blow. I want to say tonight that God will always have the last word. For after the mountaintop, yes, will come the valley. But God was God on the mountaintop. And good news tonight, God is God in the valley. Fixing the broken. Look at verses 5-9. God restoring the downcast. God knows your position and my position tonight. I want to say tonight that we're not as spiritual as we think we are. He knows our deepest needs, yet all too often we can't see them ourselves. Our own pride, our own selfishness sometimes can just get in the way. Remember Peter? You know, Lord, the rest of them, they'll desert you, but I'll stick with you. Well, what happened to him? Mountaintop, valley. But then, restoration. Restoration. We bound up with the situation. Often, sometimes, we can't see the wood for the trees. Which one of us tonight can understand some of the feelings that this man went through? Yes, he faced a very uncertain future as he lay there. But God ministered to him. And what did he see his first need was? Sleep. Then what did he do? He gave him food. And then he gave him more sleep. And if you read on, you'll see that God recommissioned him, gave him a new work to do. And what's more, at times we found him deafeningly silent, however. But we need to wait. And in our anger, we cry in our hearts, "Why me, Lord?" I'm sure those were the thoughts of Elijah as he was running and hiding under that bush. We need to see that depression is not just an emotional and spiritual disease, it also has physical causes as well. Let me put it bluntly, Elijah was exhausted. And I want to say tonight, that could be you, that could be me tonight. There are times when we're going to be physically exhausted, and the one thing that we need if we're to face the future is just to rest, to sleep, to be nourished, to be loved. So if you're under pressure, and let's be honest tonight, who isn't under pressure? Let yourself have sleep. A friend of mine was at a theological college, and there was a very famous preacher there called Jim Packer. He wrote a really famous book called Knowing God. And they used to have a preacher on a Friday, and it was an archdeacon. And my friend told me the archdeacon was very dull indeed. And Jim Packer, this great preacher, this great man of God, fell asleep on my friend's shoulder. And when Jim Packer woke up, he knew he'd been asleep, and he said, the sleep was more of a blessing than the archdeacon. Sometimes you can be blessed just by resting. Don't think, oh, I haven't read that book, I haven't been to that meeting. If you need to rest, then rest, because God wants to equip you for future ministry. God, having given him needed sleep, now wakens him up early in the early morning with an angel. Not only does he tell him to get up and eat, and a lack of food can always undermine us, but God knows that we need to be nourished. So God provides Elijah not only with sleep and food. We all know how easy it is in a very busy day to not minister to ourselves. But then he recommissions him back to the battle. And don't we need that as well? All too often we allow our Christian life to drift. We suddenly find our feet slipping and we feel like giving up on God and the things of God and the people of God. And we ask ourselves, is it really worth it? God, having given him strength, having fed his tired body, having restored him, sends him back into the ministry. Well, tonight, I don't know where you are spiritually, but I'm guessing some of you will need good rest and nourishment. But some of us will need to be recommissioned. Some of us will need the healing hand of God on our life to encourage us tonight. We will need once more to be refreshed by God. Yes, we will face times of fear. Yes, we will have fatigue. And maybe we will feel like we're a failure and forsaken. But remember, God is the God of the second chance. God can fix us when no one else can. How do you imagine God responded to Elijah? He loved him in a very practical and down-to-earth way. Burnout is not needing to be permanent. Listen. Listen to what God is saying to you tonight. Take care of yourself. Take care of your relationship with God. And allow God to use the people around you to minister to you and to encourage you so that you can be back in the fight. As we sit, let's come to God in prayer. Lord, we've all faced times. Maybe even tonight we face that time of exhaustion. Maybe the week's been busy, the month's been busy, the year's been busy. And Lord, we've been running on a battery that we're just not recharging. Help us, Lord, to lean on you. Help us, Lord, to take care of ourselves with the good things you've given to us. Food and sleep, fellowship, your word, your spirit. And Lord, help us to stand again and to be once more in the battle. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.